So we've simply said fees and disbursements, regardless of who would be serving the papers, could be added to the judgment. And those are the amendments. With those amendments, we would be in support of the bill. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Clark.
Does the OCA have any problems with addition of the words "at one address" on line 9?
No.
Talk to me about that. Why? I mean,
well, it's going to cost us, it will cost my clients more money in the long run, but we think it's reasonable.
But we, in the past, we've sort of arbitrarily drawn the line and said that it's going to be $15 unless you have to serve more than two people.
Right.
And then we're going to give you a different additional shot, saying truth in fees here. What's really going on out there is that if process servers have to make two trips, they should be paid for two trips.
Well, this is not two trips. It's serving two parties.
Well,
the first two parties you collect $15 for, regardless of whether they live at the same address. Okay, and
now.
Now.
Right.
All right. So if you're suing a man and wife,
I understand.
You collect $15, they live at the same address. If that man and wife happen to be separated and they live at two different addresses, you can still only collect $15. And I'm saying, obviously, it costs the process server more money to go to two addresses, and that just seems reasonable to us.
Right. I just want to, I mean, we didn't hear a whole lot from the proponents of the bill about what we're really doing here. And
that is
not just going from $15 to $20. We're going, in that case, we're going from $15 to $40.
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, you're absolutely
reasonable,
right.
But let's be clear about what we're doing.
You are absolutely right.
Okay.
Other questions for Mr. Martin?
What we're doing, of course, is with your amendment, we're opening this up to competition in the free market, free enterprise system. So one of the reasons you may not, I'm just going to ask you this, one of the reasons you may not object to the one-address business is because you're still going to be in a position to negotiate if you've got volume deals with processor.
Certainly. I wouldn't deny that.
Representative Calhoun.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In that the change, the app one address change in line 9, does that create any kind of inconsistency with the next line, which talks about more than two parties? Looking at that, do you think we have to fix anything else?
Well, Madam Chair, Representative Calhoun. Yeah, in a way it does, but I'm comfortable with it. I didn't write this bill. It's not my bill. I'm trying to make it palatable to my clients so that they can live with it. Basically, the way I see the bill operating, if it passes with the language that's in it, you would charge $20 for each. If you were going to serve two parties living at a different address, you would pay $20 for each of the parties, a total of $40. If you had four people, all of whom lived at different addresses, you'd pay $40 for the first two and $20 for the second two. So it is inconsistent to the level that you get a break on the first two, you know, on the additional parties. I'm not sure that that's necessarily bad.
Kind of what I was getting at is now if we have more than two parties at different addresses, according to the second line, the first line would say two different parties at one address. The second line says when more than two parties are to be served, which would mean three or more parties.
Right.
We don't seem to have any provision in here, at least in my reading, when there are two parties at different addresses.
I believe that with this language, if there are two parties at different addresses, the maximum fee that can be charged under the new language would be $40, $20 per person.
Thank you, Mr. Markey.
Other questions, Representative Minnis?
Markey, I apologize for being outside the room. If the question was asked and answered, let me know. But You're suggesting that we put language in here saying not more than $20. And someone commented when I came back in that what we're really doing there would be opening it to the free market system. It's occurred to me that if we were really going to open it to the free market system, we wouldn't have a cap on it at all. So the question then is begged, why do we have a cap and what was the purpose in law of having it there in the first place? And can you shed some light on that for us?
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, I wasn't here when fees were originally established and this statute was written. However, I have dealt with it over a period of several sessions where there has been increases or proposed increases. It has been a statutory provision, no more, no less. I believe that the reason for that has been one of consumer protection. There is potential, I believe, in this area for abuse, whereby a plaintiff might contract with somebody and say, I'll give you $1,000 to deliver this paper. If you leave it wide open, that would be perfectly legal. And ultimately, the debtor pays. So these costs are passed on. So I believe that the legislature has taken the view over the period of years that some limit needs to be set. They've done that in this law. They've done it in 29165 on writs of garnishment.
Representative Minnis, a follow-up.
Well, there must be I guess I'm trying to grasp the public policy that was established in the setting of the fee to begin with. Now, you've intimated that there could be a situation where someone might want to pay someone $1,000 to deliver or serve some kind of a document. Yet, I guess my own free enterprise mind says if somebody wants to pay somebody $1,000 to serve a piece of paper that's hard to serve, so what? But there must be some other problem there. And we do have a system here. It appears to be somewhat convoluted in the sense that you have sheriff's departments serving, and you also have private enterprise serving. Now we've got this idea that there may be some possibility of corruption or underbidding or whatever. I guess in the language that you're proposing here, I mean, is it possible that one conglomerate corporation or one larger corporation could undercut smaller businesses by having a market share and be able to come in with the same service and provide it for less, and thereby create a larger market share by cutting out businesses that couldn't afford to charge the same? I mean, is that possible?
Madam Chair, Representative Minnis, I believe that that is possible, just like it is in any other business. Two things that one looks at in getting paper served: the price and the service. If an individual is able to serve a paper at a profit, and they're not going to serve many papers if they're not making a profit, they're going to be out of business. And do the job right for X number of dollars, then more people are going to use that individual. It works that way with writs of garnishment. Chapter 29, which regulates writs of garnishment, has had the provision in it since the inception of the legislation, and I believe that was 81, which sets the fee at $12.50 maximum outside Multnomah County, $9.50 maximum inside Multnomah County. The theory, I think, being that in a metropolitan area, it doesn't cost you as much to serve papers because people live closer together. That has worked well under that statute. It's really hard for me to argue against removing the lid entirely based on my client's beliefs, because they're kind of free enterprise people. And I can only assure you that collection agencies, if you remove the lid, wouldn't pay more than $20. They wouldn't probably pay more than $18, you know, because they are in a position to negotiate, because they are high volume users of process servers. The people who would pay substantially more would be the mom and pop grocery store or retailer who have one paper in 6 months. They're going to pay through the nose. And if that's the policy that you would be comfortable with, fine. Based on my clients, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, thank you for your response, I appreciate it.
Other questions, Representative Mannix?
How would you react to a change here? Not getting into other areas of the bill, Madam Chairman, regarding the $15 or $20 fee. If we try to do a little bit of a truth in consumerism here, following up on what Representative Clark said, aren't we, and also modifying the fee somewhat in this proposal, for serving summons, this is under subsection A at line 8, for serving summons, subpoena, citation, order, notice, or similar documents, including small claims or writ of execution, directed to one party, not more than $20. Directed to two parties at one address, not more than $20. Directed to two parties at two addresses, not more than $40. When more than two parties are to be served, not more than $20 for each additional two parties or part thereof, and regardless of the number of addresses involved.
I think that's fine.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Dick, is it Pylon?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Lieutenant Dick Highland, Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, Chief Civil Deputy, here representing the Oregon State Sheriff's Association on this bill. We did not originate this bill, we're just reacting to it, but it does affect us. The Sheriff's Association supports the increase in the proposed fees from $15 to $20. However, we ask that, excuse me, as previously indicated by one of the witnesses, that all of the fees that are currently designated $15 be raised to $20, if in fact any of them are raised, for purposes of administrative efficiency. Both sheriffs and court staff, if in fact court staff continue to be involved in collection of fees. Also, some questions were raised about the new proposed language, quote, at one address, close quote, and the remarks that Representative Mannix just made, I think, clarified it for us. We're concerned that how this is interpreted, and we want to be sure that it is not interpreted to mean that if we develop new information where a party can be located as we're looking for them, that somebody doesn't feel that another fee has to be administered, or that if we get a paper for a party giving us an alternate address, as we often do, telling us where the person both lives and works, that we're not required to collect an extra fee. We don't feel that would be appropriate. And if in fact it's not interpreted in the manner that Representative Mannix indicated, we would ask that language be dropped from the bill and simply have the increase from $15 to $20. I did not hear about the amendments until I arrived, and I'd like to have an opportunity to consider them, but my initial response to the amendments proposed by the Mr. Marquis and his group is negative. I think we'll be opposed to the idea of not collecting fees in advance, opposed to the idea of not specifying the amount of the fee, and I'm not sure about the what the implication is or the full import of leading the word sheriff's fees, and I'd like to have an opportunity to consider that. So I'd like to let you know that we're concerned about those. In regard to the amendment suggested by the court administrator, I'd like to have an opportunity to consider that. I think that it would have a negative impact on counties and sheriffs in that it would shift a clerical burden from the court to the sheriff. And I'd like a chance to take another look at that.
I'm sorry.
Representative Mason has a question.
You're just, unless I misunderstand the bill, you're just collecting the money. I mean,
well, the way it works.
You want just one check or?
No. Let me attempt to explain this, Representative Mason. Again, I'll hope that you'll bear with me, having just heard of these for the first time. The way it works now, the court staff does collect some of the fees that is passed on to the sheriff. If the sheriff is required to collect all of the fees, I envision it will be certainly an additional clerical task for sheriffs to perform. And in some cases, it may be an additional step for the consumers to go from the court filing area to the sheriff's area. I'm not sure just exactly how all of that would fall out, but it does not sound at the outset like something that I would warmly welcome. In that particular case, I speak only for myself and do not necessarily represent the association on that one.
Well, if I might, I'm sure it just seems to be a difference whether or not the court collects the checks and sends you the money or you collect the checks and deposit them yourself. I mean, that's, I suppose that's a burden, but that's, you know, I mean, I wish that's a burden a lot of us had in our own business.
Well, in my case, or in Multnomah County's case, we did about 39,000 separate transactions last year. And in our particular organization, we're only able to have one clerk at the courthouse, which is the place where most of the customers come. And it would be probably mean perhaps adding one clerk to collect 39,000 fees. Approximately, I don't know what proportion, a considerable portion are now collected for us by court staff when the citizen goes to the court staff to file the paper. They give them the money. That's a one-stop thing for that person. And
well, may I interject a point here? I mean, it seems I've been through this process at the window and filing, and I just don't see why the rule couldn't be to attorneys that they make a check payable to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department when they put the paper in the hands of the clerk at the circuit or district and circuit court window and have that clerk put the check into a drawer, and then you really don't have to hire a separate person to go pick the checks up from the drawer at the end of the day. The shift is that rather than having the state court administrator go through all of the checks that they receive made payable to them from all of the counties, what you are basically doing is opening up an account for that money.
Can I answer?
Well, their concern was the distribution mechanism, which is somewhat burdensome.
State court administrator probably has to pick it up, but you're going to pick up some float on that. Money's going to be in your hands a little bit earlier. What you have a day earlier?
Well, Representative Mason, again, I'm not an expert on that particular facet of it, and I'm not sure what all the implications of this are. It looks to me like what it means is that sheriff's clerks will have to handle an additional, let's say, 15 or 20,000 units a year in my county that they're not now handling, but maybe the point that you just raised is an offsetting point. I'd like an opportunity to consider that.
I appreciate that. Representative Edmondson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Whenever the legislature eliminates words from the statute, there's some implication that we intended to prohibit that meaning in the future. So I guess that's your concern with the elimination of the word sheriff's fees down here, that they should be added to the judgment. That might, if we eliminated the word sheriffs, that might be somehow interpreted as forbidding the sheriff's fees from being added to the judgment. That's why I asked the question of the proponent of the amendments on regard to the other point you raised about the advance payment. Was it their intent that that advance payment be prohibited? If that were the intent behind it, that would be one thing. His response was, "Oh no, not at all. We simply intend to open it up so that if payment after service was the desire of the parties, they would not be prohibited by the statute from doing that." If you follow me on that, if the elimination of those words does not prohibit those activities, if that's the intent, would you have any problem with it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. We need to make that record, and that's what. Thank you.
Representative Clark.
why would you oppose language adding the phrase "is not more than" for the set fees?
$70 a day then.
I think it would create a potential administrative problem and a potential fiscal problem for counties. And again, I've just heard of these for the first time today. Usually, before I would prepare remarks for a group like yours, I would consult my group of experts around it to see what we think the real implications of this are.
Well, let me tell you my concern.
Yes.
What I personally would not be very sympathetic towards hearing is that you're afraid you're going to get underbid. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that'd be great. It's no disrespect to you or your organization, the sheriff. My view is the sheriff's got better things to do than serve papers. And so I have no problem saying not more than if I think that it's going to foster some activity out there that might put you out of the process service business. And like I say, it's not because Clackamas and Multnomah County Sheriffs, which are the organizations I work with, do a fine job of serving papers. But I think there's other things that they could be doing too, with resources. So I guess I'd like some feedback on that when we come back to this, whenever we do.
Okay.
Representative Mannix.
Thank you. I noticed that in the letter that we received from the Sheriff's Association, you say all $15 fees should be changed to $20. Are you including for making the conveyance of real property sold on any process? You want that $15 changed to $20?
Yes.
Is there any particular cost reason associated with that, or are you just trying to make it for consistency?
Just simply for the sake of consistency.
Thank you. Well, is there something? It seems to me when you're making a conveyance of real property, you're not going to have a lot of the problems you have in these other situations in terms of locating the address and so forth. Isn't
that's
that
correct.
Is that an easier thing to serve?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ron Smith.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm only going to take about 3 minutes. My name is Ron Smith from Portland, and I'm here to speak in support of House Bill number 2415. I'm a member of the Oregon Association of Process Servers and the National Association of Professional Process Servers. Also, I'm on the Educational Committee for the Oregon Association. House Bill 2415 would increase the service fees from $15 to $20 for not more than two parties at one address. The last legislative action designating fees was 8 years ago, and the National Consumer Price Index, as published by the U.S. Department of Commerce, shows a 39.6% increase between 1980 and 1988. The 1980 filing fees for the Tri-County Circuit, District, and Small Claims Courts were $42.50, $22, and $10.80, respectively. Current fees are $104, $72.70, and $36.30. The percentage increase for Circuit Court is 243%, District Court is 317%, and Small Claims 335%. The increase to $20 represents less than the Consumer Price Index and pales in comparison to the increased cost of other legal fees. The Oregon Association of Process Servers would like to continue the high quality of service expected of the legal support industry, and this measure would go a long ways in providing a livable wage for our personnel. Other than one or two person associations, there are, to my knowledge, only five companies specializing in the service of process that have been in business over 5 years. Numerous companies have gone out of business or filed bankruptcy. Obviously, some businesses terminated due to poor practices. However, the majority dissolved because of a lack of revenue to support rising expenses. Oregon generates the lowest fees for service of process in the seven western states. A sample of fees has been provided to committee. Particular notice should be taken that all states except Oregon charge per defendant. Oregon provides a statutory maximum limit of $12.50 for mileage when service exceeds 100 miles. This is less than half of what other states charge, and this applies only when you meet the 100-mile criteria. Part of the dilemma in the industry is generated by those who choose to violate the subscribed fees. Those who are uneducated in the requirements of solid business practices see the fees as 100% pocket money. Many try to operate without the required insurance and soon find they are unable to obtain or maintain the level of proficiency required. Some go out of business and leave documents for service unattended. Many others pay no taxes or Social Security. Our most experienced process server makes over 2 attempts per service perfected. This particular person is extremely skilled with a full-time position as an investigator and was an attorney in South Africa. The emphasis is on perfected as statistical information is not maintained for an individual on not found. Not founds for our organization run 3.5 attempts per return. The economic strain of insurance of all types, farm work, office rent, telephone service, postage, couriers, automobiles, and staff will limit the availability of reliable companies. Our first priority for the additional revenue would be a server's wage increase and basic health insurance plan for our staff. In closing, I would like to emphasize the dramatic cost of living increase and the court cost increase when considering our request. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a position on the amendments that have been offered today?
That's an association should speak to that. I personally support what the sheriff's office has suggested. As far as competition in the market, there's competition in the market today. Regardless of whether there's fees set by statute, there are people out there serving papers for $10. So I don't personally feel that the change in the language is necessary as it's already taking place today.
And on the other hand, I suppose what you're testifying is that the change in the language isn't going to change the practice, but what it does is it institutionalizes or places into language of the law recognition of the practice that's happening in the world.
That's correct.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Larry Swenson.
I'm Larry Swenson. I'm from Central Oregon, and I would just like to take a very few minutes, as most of the points that I thought I would bring about have already been mentioned. But I would just like to say that I am one of the process servers who have been in business since the fees were $12.50. Since 1981, I've been serving legal documents in the 3 counties in Central Oregon of Brooke, Deschutes, and Jefferson. There's quite a bit of rural area, and my partner and I cover all of that area by ourselves simply because we found we cannot support quality employees with the revenues that we collect for service. So we have opted to keep a very professional business and do all of the business ourselves. Occasionally on papers that we can't get in those areas, we will have the sheriff do it there rather than let them sit around and get served. So in response to a couple of the things that were mentioned, the court administrator I've never heard of the practice of the county collecting a service fee as long as I've been serving in 3 counties that I mentioned over there. The plaintiff or whoever is having the papers served will always provide a check either to the process server as a private or to the sheriff. So I don't see any problem there. The check is always attached to the service papers, and I don't see any administrative problems with that. Mr. Marquis mentioned that it is the common practice to bill clients for the service fees on a monthly basis, which I have always collected the fee in advance, the way it states in the statute, and I do make exceptions to that. When papers are received, then we serve them and bill the client, but it is not a common practice. And since we work on an overhead that is fairly high, and we don't have the reserves to sit and wait for clients to pay, I don't see that as economically feasible for us. So I believe that it should, the fees should be kept paid in advance. There was mention of opening this up to free enterprise, which I'm pretty much of a capitalist myself, and that is one reason why I want to see the fee increased, because I'm working under the same fees today as I was 8 years ago, and many of you who are business people know that it may be possible to do this for 8 years, but can I do it for 9, and can I do it for 10?